You're listening to the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, episode 70, a very controversial episode. Let's talk about DNA.
DNA. So have you heard, did you hear anything about this? This is like, everybody was all getting up in arms because of this story. So have you gotten any introduction to it?
Yes, it's horrible. I have no clue.
Okay, so basically what people are talking about is you can store data on DNA, and it's like a bazillion times better than a hard drive, and it's the future of everything.
That's convenient.
Yeah, well, it's one of the things that drives me nuts about reading articles sometimes and having like any clue how these different technologies works is you realize that like this is very cool. But it's not nearly as cool as everybody thinks it is. See, it's like the H.265 codec sounded really boring, but was actually really exciting. This one sounds really cool and is not that revolutionary. But it's cool, it's clever, but it's just not useful yet. So this is the deal. Yeah, one of the problems with long-term data storage, or there's two problems with long-term data storage. Number one, the amount of data. There's just a huge amount of data, and any data storage system takes space. Hard drives take space, videotapes take space, CDs take space, everything takes space. So the smaller you can get it, the better. And the other side of this is that it's duration, how long it lasts. RAM, hard drive, like steady-state hard drives require power. So if there's a power interruption, bye-bye data, that's not good. Tape decks degrade. You know, if you keep them in really, really well-contained, stable, you know, environments, they'll last for a couple of decades. CDs don't, you know, same thing, they degrade relatively quickly. So there's just a lot of problems with like getting stable information.
Okay.
Well, somebody came up with the idea, is the method for taking information and storing it in a stable way long term that has been developed in the world, and we carry it with us everywhere. It is DNA. All the data, as it were, all the information that you need to build a human being, to build you, is stored in every single cell in your body.
I knew that.
It's incredibly small, and if you put it in a dark, temperature contained chamber, it's incredibly stable. Both of these things are great because they basically take care of the problem. But now you're asking, how can you turn data into how can you store data on DNA? Well, this is how. So if you don't really know anything about genetic engineering, this is going to be a crash course for you. So basically, genetics, you know, you got your A, C, D, G, what are the four bases of the DNA have four.
I did not do well in biology. I'm just going to put that disclaimer out there. I can't help you. You're on your own. That's what I'm trying to say.
That's cool. So DNA, deoxy.
Oh, A, C, E, T. Does that sound
what?
Right?
What'd you say it was?
A, C, G, T.
Yeah, Gattaca, G, and they stand for words. But basically, there are four bases, and they both line up. So the double helix, if there's, you know, they line up all along it. But you can pick any one of those four. How they perform genetic engineering is they basically had to figure out how to build genes. So they have these really cool. What they had to learn how to read genes. And what they basically do is they go, we're going to take a gene. We know how the body reproduces genetics. We've studied all the different chemicals. So they put all those chemical, all the different proteins into a little vase with the one strand of DNA that they want. They heat it up, they spin it up, and they basically get it operating until they just produce a ton of these genes that are all identical. And then what they do is they take one protein that just chops it into random lengths. And with the random lengths, they just have a tremendous amount of this DNA at different lengths. And what they can do at this point, it actually eats it to a certain length. So it like all starts at the same. And then they put it into a reader. So at this point, you basically have identical copies of the DNA starting from the first base all the way up to the full length and every step in between, hypothetically. But they're all just sitting there randomly. And what you do is you use a spectrometer, and you – yeah, it's cool.
I've heard
you
that CSI. Light,
exactly. You shoot light at it, and when the light hit reflects off of it, you can – depending on how it reflects, you can tell which of the four bases, the G, the T, the A, or the C, is at that length. And so you know the length, and you know the letter. And so what they do is they start to composite together in a random sequence – the total length, and eventually that's what DNA sequencing is. That's how they sequence it. You create a bunch of this identical pieces, you cut it down to random short intervals. If you do enough with it, enough of them, you'll get every single one. You measure each one independently until you have the entire length programmed. Well, that's really cool and all, because now you know what's in the DNA, but if you want to do any genetic engineering, you actually have to build these genes. So they basically built a machine that could do that in reverse, and it could build, you could put in data, you could say, I want this sequence of genes, and then you want to build the DNA and build one strand of DNA, and then you can multiply it and grow it. Well, somebody came up with the brilliant, and this is like standard genetic engineering, it's been around for quite a while. Well, some scientists came up with the idea, why not, instead of just saying it's G's and A's and T's and C's, let's say a G is equal to 0, 0, and A is equal to a 0 or a 1, 0. A T is equal to a 0, 1, and a C is equal to a 1, 1.
One, whatever. One. I got it. I'm a geneticist.
They're tiny bits of data, and then so you'll take. Let's say you take a song, and it's a bunch of zeros and ones. You break it into a bunch of little pieces. You now have a corresponding sequence of DNA steps. You send that into the machine, it produces a strain of DNA. You can now, this little tiny, smaller than a piece of dust, piece of DNA, is stable, it's storable. You send it over to the other side of the lab who reads DNA. They do all their special stuff to read it. They go, okay, now we have the DNA sequence, and we know that G is equal to 0, 0, A is equal to, and they go through, and then they have an algorithm that expands it into DNA. And now they can take that data file, and whether it's a picture or a sound file or whatever, they can run that and like it were computer code, which is very cool.
The
problem
cool.
with all of this, it's extremely slow. It takes days to do. So basically what they've done is they've figured out have a giant archive of information that's very stable. You are very rarely going to need to read from it, and you're very rarely going to need to change it, write to it. This is a great long-term storage solution.
Great's quite the word I would use to describe this.
What's very cool about it, though, actually, is because this uses...
You'd have a whole new level of espionage, really.
Yes.
You know, eventually, just like, I got the code in my body. It's flowing through my veins.
Actually, and there's some discussion about that. What happens if you could, like, put actual DNA into an egg or a sperm and then have that become part of the genetic code? Oh, man. Like, you now are embedding data into humans, which is kind of exciting.
That's weird. You literally would be like, it's like Neo. Really, from the Matrix.
Right, exactly.
You become the one. Yeah, your DNA, you're the key.
Gregor Mendel would have something to say about it, whether or not it makes it to the... Actually, I guess you just have to put it on both strands so you know that when it splits, you got 100% chance of it making it to the next. But the point in all of this is, that it's a minor step. And they basically took something that totally makes sense. It uses really foundational technology, and now you just have to find like a use case for it. What I could definitely see them doing, though, I could definitely see it becoming this idea for, like, you know, every once in a while, because we're humans and we like the idea of time capsules, we throw time capsules out there. Like, we throw, like, satellites into space with images engraved on silicon disks that, like, explain our number system and then, like,
really?
Extrapolate into physics. Yeah. And then, it, like, and how units work. And then they show pictures.
Do we really spend money and resources on that?
Oh, yeah, because and what's great about it is we don't even just throw it out into space.
I love our
scientists. It just circles around Earth because if we go extinct or, you know, we devastate ourselves, we want future humans who don't remember us to go out into space and go, what the heck is this? Holy cow. This is a, you know, and actually binary is a big part of it because it's theoretically it's a basic understanding of how the universe works. And so aliens could read it or future humans. It's more universal. What's cool about this is that,
don't tell me these things, man. That's just, okay. That's okay. Cool.
It's such a small part of our budget. It is literally a drop in the bucket.
I want to know, whose job is that to be like, you know what we need? Just in case we go extinct, we need a record and we need it to be in space.
Well, you know, I want that job. It sounds kind of cool.
And then who's the person who goes, you know, that's a good point.
Dude, that's how NASA is, dude. They're all dreamers like that.
Let me run some numbers real quick, and let's just see.
Somebody once said, you know what we should do? We should explode ourselves to the moon. And people said, that is a good idea. Those are the people that
throw away this. It was someone who goes, it'd be cool to go to the moon someday. And then someone came along and went, you know, I have a way that I think could work. Might be dangerous, not proven, but it would be fun to watch at the very least.
I was saying, it might be dangerous. So.
You know, and he proposes this idea, right? Here's an idea. Let's have an explosion. We'll try to control it, you know, directionally, and the thrust will take us up. And have, again, that other person on the other side who goes, yeah, okay, I should buy that. Here's $1 million. Let's see what you can do.
Yeah, that's, you know, and then eventually you had a president who said, you know, we choose to do these things and the other things as well, not because they're easy, but because they are hard. You know, it's, I don't know, why do we do this sort of stuff? Why do we do this sort of stuff? It's crazy sometimes.
Someone's like, you know what? We could store some information on DNA.
You know what it is?
You get the feeling like he had to watch Jurassic Park with his kids that weekend and came back to work and was like, human data DNA. I get it. It's amazing.
I can totally do this. Well, what'll be interesting is I think what we'll do is we'll put all of this DNA together. We are definitely going to make these, like, we already have DNA storage systems. We're like out in the middle of Siberia, where like we have these big like facilities that it's basically the Noah Ark of, you know, of current technology, where we take DNA and we store them in cold storage so that they're super stable for eons, hopefully.
Wait, we already have this?
We already stored DNA of all the animals and plants and everything. Well, what happens if we nuke ourselves into oblivion? How are we going to recreate the universe? I mean, this is important stuff.
Totally.
But now we'll put all of our data there as well, which is fascinating because it's like, it's the same technology. It's, you know, future humans or aliens that came, all they have to do is figure out, oh, this is the building blocks of their life. And then they'll accidentally create these, like, you know, this is not a cell. When you put this DNA in a cell, nothing happens. It just degrades. What the heck is this stuff? And somebody will go, I don't know, maybe it's box 19 sonnet or whatever. I don't think that's a thing. a sonnet and Bach. I don't think you wrote sonnets. But thank you,
Shakespeare.
Yeah, I
was in the article.
Bill Shakespeare.
And they'll go, wow, I'm really glad that we discovered this because that really enlightens us on this.
You know what it is?
On the society that killed themselves.
We're totally hoping that that's what we find somewhere else. And so we're like, we got people that are going, this is what, because what it is it's people asking, if we find another alien species, like, how will we figure out, let's say we find an extinct alien species, what will we have to do to understand what they do? And so they basically decrypt, like, they tried to boil a math system down to the basic system. And once they figured it out, it was like, why don't we do this for aliens as well? And everybody's like, because it's a waste of money? Like,
yeah, but if you bought into that part of it already, right? If you've already thought that through for aliens, you know, you're like,
they're looking for aliens. These guys are, you know.
Reciprocity here.
Honest personal opinion is I say we waste that quote. I think it's worth it, but it's difficult, mostly because it makes me feel good. I don't know if there's a hardcore logical explanation to it, except that, you know, except the XKCD quote of, you know, I imagine that the universe is full of the remains of societies who made the logical, intelligent decision to not explore the universe, just to be found by the societies that made the illogical decision. You know, you're like, oh yeah, stars, it's so exciting.
The stars, I don't know, it's cool. To speak truth into our lives.
Oh man, he so often a guy. but yeah, I don't know, it's fascinating. So
there was spent 15 minutes talking about DNA.
Yeah, especially that and impressive. Now I started out this conversation with, it's not actually that cool.
It is cool.
It's just not
have an impact on our lives today.
Exactly. And probably never will. So that's exciting. And because it's just something different. But everybody's, you know, anyways.